Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello again, everyone. I am your host, Tiana Copeland, and we are coming to have a Holy Ghost good time on tonight. This will be a three-night show, and because of the response that we have been getting, we're going to have a dynamic duo on tonight, Apostle Conrad Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda Riley out of Memphis, Tennessee. And I want to just make a note to you guys, we will be taking live calls. If the calls get so great, like more than 50 calls, once you get your prayer or whatever it is that you want for the man or woman of God, we're going to have to drop your call. So feel free to listen online as well. Also, when we bring you in with the call, you have no more than 2 minutes to explain your situation, your dream, your prayer, whatever it is that you need the man or woman of God to do on tonight. And if they do not get with you guys tonight, they definitely will get with you guys tomorrow or Tuesday night. So you guys, we want to welcome them back to the show, Apostle Conrad Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda Riley. How you guys doing on tonight?
We're doing all right. How are you, Prophetess?
Doing great.
We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We want to kind of continue a little bit of everything, the prophetic, end times, dreams, visions. We want to get it all in these next nights. And I'm going to let you guys have your way. Do it how you want to do it. I guess we can kind of start again about the dreams. I know, Prophetess Sharonda, you were saying that you wanted to explain to us about the spirit of Mayor. Am I saying that right? Mayor. Okay.
I'm sorry, your last response.
I was saying, I know you was telling us in the, on the last show that you wanted to explain to us about the spirit of Mayor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. Well, one of the things that, and if any time, if anybody is logged in on Blog Talk Radio, because of the time, I'm going to ask that if you can hear me clearly, because we do have this on speakerphone so that people even on my end can hear this, but if you can't hear me, just feel free to send a text message through Blog Talk Radio where Prophetess Tiana would give it, and she'll let me know because this is very vital information. God is definitely speaking to his people through dreams and visions. However, the enemy is using every tactic that he knows how to kind of to stop the plans of the Lord concerning our lives. Because sometimes we're in modern times. We live in, you know, in a newer age now. And you know, we're living in times where we're very high with technology. We got a lot of prophets and apostles who are techies, such as myself, an apostle. Very much techies, you know, love the text and things like that, and get a lot of emails, and we usually have to deal with technology when we're dealing with our ministry. However, the enemy comes in to stop all of that, even when we're dealing with voice and thus forth. So sometimes we can get so busy to where we may not pray. Sometimes we'll get so busy, and it should not be. Please don't get me wrong and feel like it's okay to not pray, because it is not. But sometimes we don't pray, especially if you're like myself, as a being a mother of two, and I have a child with multiple disabilities. So if I'm not pursuing ministry, I'm tending to my home, tending to the things of the world, how I may please my husband, my future husband, out at doctor's appointments. There are times I go to sleep and God say, now that you're asleep, now I can come to you, I can speak to you in your sleep. There's a scripture in the book of Job where it talks about how, you know, since God has spoken to us once, twice, but we have not responded back to God, he has to come to us when deep sleep falleth upon the man, and he has to deal with us in our dreams and our visions. And because mm-hmm. the enemy knows that about the Lord, and that he knows how he wants us to sow pursue our destiny so that we can be walking in our destiny, the enemy mm-hmm. will come in your dream to sabotage your destiny. He will come into your dreams to contaminate your soul and your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also, just, you know, to really just basically throw you off from the plans of the Lord concerning your life.
Yeah.
Now, with the spirit of Mayor, basically, the spirit of Mayor is what we call a nightmare. Mm-hmm. The spirit of Mayor, in most familiar terms, like I said, is a nightmare. It's also what the older people would say, how there's a demon or a witch riding your back, or there's a demon sitting on your chest, and things like that. And, you know, when you can't move, you know, sometimes you're waking up and you're trying to wake up and you can't move and you can't speak and things like that. And mm-hmm. what they tell you to do is to cry out, Jesus, and you know you can't say it, because as soon as you go to open your mouth and call on the name of the Lord, or as soon as you try to scream out Jesus, you know, even through prayer in your dream, the enemy will come in and he will try to stop that. And so what yeah. he does is he cuts your vocals off. He shuts your mouth in the dream. And so what they tell you to do, and some of you are already probably saying what I'm about to say, you think Jesus. As soon as you think of the name of Jesus, then that spirit, you will find out that spirit will release itself. One of the most dangerous things to do is when you're wrestling, is not to, is to fight back or to totally relax and give in to that spirit. So as you're relaxing, the best thing to do when you're fighting the spirit of Mayor in your sleep is to think Jesus. When you can't think of anything else, you begin to go into warfare in your mind, because it's not so much as what's taking place in your house. It's not so much as what's taking, it can be, but it's not so much as what's taking place in your body. Is there really a witch actually in my house sitting on my back while I sleep? Of course not. Why are they saying that if I woke up and I was laying on my back? So how is it that none of that is true? It's just a satanic assignment that's sent out to you for your life. And this one last thing I'm going to throw out about the spirit of Mayor. It deals with your mind. Remember the last time we was on the call, we were saying how everything that a Christian or a kingdom believer goes through, everything comes strictly out of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that comes outside of the Word of God, any advice given that does not come strictly from the Lord, has not been inspired by the Lord, is not of God. And we have no right giving you any advice outside of that. So when you're dealing with the spirit of nightmare, you always refer to your word. The word of God is your weapon when you fight. Mm-hmm. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of every single stronghold, even in your sleep. Therefore, when you go through, you also have to understand that this is a mind thing. This is a battle that takes place in your mind. One of the things that the Lord was dealing with me on, he said, if you read Isaiah 26 and 3, you don't have to go there for the sake of time, but if you read Isaiah 26 and 3, it said that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That word, stayed, the Hebrew word for that is semach, and semach means to be sustained or to rely on the Lord or just to depend on him. It doesn't mean that I'm just going to constantly think Jesus every single day, every time, and it makes you unhuman, not carnal. We don't deal with carnality, but it makes you so not a person. So it's not so much as speaking about, you got to constantly think about Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Then before you know it, you'll become self-righteous, and then you'll be like possessing that of the spirit of a Pharisee. You don't want that. But it basically talks about you depending totally on the Lord. All of your trust is on Jesus. Everything, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit depends on the Lord, as stated in Matthew 22 and 37, how that scripture says that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. When you don't do this, you open up the door for the spirit of Mare. You open up the door for the spirit of the nightmares to come in and to scare the mess out of you in your dreams. And before you know it, you're thinking about your dreams. So now the enemy's coming to you because you don't have confidence. Basically, that word state, it means to have confidence in the one who you are trusting. If you don't have confidence in the Lord, then there's no confidence in your relationship with the Lord. And then when you sleep at night, the enemy can come in and he can give you dreams. Oh, you're on your way to hell. You get misinterpretations. You're interpreting a dream that the enemy has given you. Those dreams need not to be interpreted.
Okay.
You don't interpret a dream that comes from the enemy. You throw it out. If you see a death that has taken place in that dream, if you saw your mama died and your mother is alive and well, you need to go immediately in the prayer. You don't pick up the phone and say, oh, my God, mama had a dream, you died. You don't call your friends. You don't call your friends or your cousins who you know can interpret a dream and say, I had a dream. Words have power. As soon as you open your mouth and you release what your dream has been given to you, you release activities for that to take place. That's why some people, they can go to sleep and they can dream something and they speak it out of their mouth, what they have dreamt, and the dream comes to pass. It does not make you prophetic. It makes you ignorant in your prophetic. And so it's very, very vital that you definitely go into prayer when you wake up out of dreams such as that. Find out firstly in your prayer, did this come from God? Secondly, you find out, okay, this didn't come from God, then I need to cast this down.
Wow, that's awesome, because I know that no one ever actually told me that, but I know when the devil ride my back and I can't open my mouth, I automatically knew to just thank Jesus.
Yes.
So you just come back and say that, that just confirms what I've already done. And really, when I thank Jesus, he really does release me.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord, you know, when I often think about the Lord, I compare him to parenthood. And when I think about him, I basically compare the Lord to how I treat my children.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I have to judge how the Lord treats me. Am I treating my children according to how the Lord treats me? So with that being said, if my sons call for me and if they cry out to me, what kind of mother would I be? What kind of mother would I be to not respond to my child when they're crying out in need? And so... Anytime you are under an attack in your dream or in your spirit, it doesn't necessarily have to be a dream, because we're not dealing with just dreamers. We're also dealing with people who have visions and things like that. So with that being said, you have to go to the Lord. You're like, God, I need help, or God, help me in this. Or you cry out to the Lord, especially when you know you don't have the authority just yet in your spirit to take authority over those things. So you have to call out on the name of the Lord.
Wow. And I know that's what I do all the time. And I know lately it haven't really been happening to me, but I know a lot of times, I mean, literally demons would come and drag me out of the bed. I've even had demons come and drag me out of the bed.
Oh, yes. Yes, Lord, I think I want Apostle to talk about that a little bit with his dreams, you know, because that people don't understand. People don't understand. Oh. He has called me and told me, Prophet Elijah got thrown out the bed, and I'm just laughing. He has holes in his wall and, you know, and things like that. And, oh, my gosh, just everything under the sun that you can think can happen in the dream realm, everything that you think cannot happen, it actually has. We were talking to one of our spiritual daughters and the Lord last night, and she was telling me how, you know, she was dealing with the spirit of incubus and succubus in the dream. And when she began to learn about it, that's when that spirit began to get vicious, you know, and started attacking her and fighting her. And because his cover was blown. I'm going to turn it over to Apostle. I really want him to say something.
Wait, before you turn it over to Apostle.
Okay, Okay.
Tell the people about those two spirits, because a lot of people don't really know what they are. I know what they are, but a lot of people don't. So I want you to tell them what actually are those spirits.
Well, the spirit of incubus is a male spirit, and this what I have to say about that, and I have Apostle right here to correct us.
Okay.
What I have to say about that may flip some of you out, but the spirit of incubus basically is a male spirit, demonic spirit that comes to attack the woman in her sleep, and vice versa with succubus is the female spirit that comes to attack the male in his sleep. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times the spirit of succubus is very, very faithful to attack our young boys, especially when they turn a certain age. And one of the things that a lot of men will do ignorantly with their sons is, oh, wow, son, you just had your first wet dream, and oh, it's okay, and, you know, this
mm-hmm.
happened to me when I was young. That's not okay. Those are the times that you most definitely have to cover them in prayer like never before, because basically it introduces the spirit of lust. And that's why it's not the primary reason why, but I would say, at least 85 to 90%. It's 85 to 90% of the reason why some of our young boys are dealing with the spirit of lust. You know, even when you're looking at lesbianism, homosexuality, when you're looking at sexual immorality altogether as a whole, doesn't matter if it's with opposite sex. However, when you look at
mm-hmm.
that, some people will say, "Well, I'm not promiscuous because I was raped or I was molested. I don't know where it came from," but they fail to go back to what they have dreamt about. These your dreams are so real. You cannot afford to go to sleep and say, "Oh, what a stupid dream," or "Oh my God, I dreamt I was rich," or "Oh my God, I dreamt that I lost everything," or "Oh my God, I dreamt I fell in a ditch," or "I dreamt that this man slept with me," or "Why did my cousin try to come on to me?" And you can't afford to dream like that and throw it out, because those two spirits are one of the, my God, one of the main spirits that will come to you, and they only come to you. They only
mm-hmm.
come to you in the form of your dreams. You don't hardly ever see the spirit of incubus and succubus attacking you while you're awake.
No,
they are also working hand in hand with the male spirit. And any time that those two spirits are detected, they will get vicious. So as long as they're not detected, as long as you're dreaming, some people, there was this one guy, case in point, and I know he wouldn't mind me sharing his testimony, but he went to sleep and had a dream of Rihanna. And he had a dream that this woman seduced him in every way you could probably imagine. But
wow.
She had a song out, and it was a hit for a little while. I think it was called Rude Boy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she began to sing this song to him, and she began to seduce him, and he allowed her in the dream to seduce him. He said what made me uncover her was when she took the song and sang it backwards. So
wow.
The song, not only did he find out that it had subliminal messages, this song, in his dream now, this is in his dream, it was an
mm-hmm.
attack on the men of God in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much the spirit of succubus attacking him. And as soon as he heard the words played backwards in the song, he began to fight her. And this is when she turns into a demon. So when he awake from the dream, he said, "Prophetess, the thing that messed me up was when I woke up from the dream, I went to YouTube and I typed in subliminal messages with certain songs, and that song came up. And everything that he heard in the dream, he heard it in a subliminal message on YouTube."
Mm-hmm.
This is very real. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and for a long time he dealt with that spirit, he dealt with lust, you know, call for prayer oftentimes, so much so I could no longer as a woman deal with that. I had to turn him over to a stronger man, because even in that it began to get strategic, and it was demonic strategy trying to get to me. And so I had
mm-hmm.
to throw a man in there to get, you know, to minister to him deliverance from that spirit, because spirits are very manipulative. Sometimes, you know, we have very attractive women in the body of Christ that
mm-hmm.
God has anointed, I mean, has just highly anointed. And people will have these dreams, and men will say, "Woman of God, I need you to pray for me because I had a dream about you."
Mm.
And God told me you was my wife because in the dream we had sexual relations. That's not so. That's yes. an assignment from the enemy. We have to become very wise in what we see in our dreams.
Wow, wow. That's awesome because a lot of people deal with that. A lot of people deal with it, mm-hmm. and they don't know what they – some people know it's a spirit, and some people, like you said, they think it's just, it's just a wet dream.
Right. And
I mean,
not.
that spirit can actually have you doing other things, you know, like you said, homosexuality, masturbation, and all those other things. So
all
those spirits are very, very real. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Yes. Really, even sitting here listening, I guess it's where my part comes in on the show because I know we're talking about the spirit of Mare and also incubus and succubus, really. But when it really ties into the other part that I really want to include in there with all of this is also when people, there's other things that happen, and it's not always, I do have to say this, it's not always, and I'll break it down into three parts. First of all, you have what the Bible calls a nocturnal emission, and that happens to men. But that, a lot of times when that is going on, there's not a dream attached to it. You just wake up and that's, you know, you go have to go to the bathroom and clean yourself off. But when there's a dream involved, most times, and I say this because the majority of people are not going to deal with what I'm about to say, but most times people are dealing with the spirit of incubus and succubus and because of what either they let in or because of what they, sometimes it happens because of what you won't let in. It's not just you looking at sexual things. Sometimes it's you abstaining, and a lot of times that's when the enemy says, okay, I can't get them to do nothing while they woke, so I'm going to get them while they sleep. But the third thing that I really want to address that I have personally experienced is something called a night wife and a night husband. And this
now
is
that's
when
new to me.
Not,
I never heard of that one.
Wow, yes. This happens a lot in Africa, but a lot of times it's on the rise in America. The more people, of course, the reason why even this radio show and different things are coming about in the kingdom to really explain the apostolic and the prophetic and the supernatural power of God and the healing of God and the miracle working power of God is so because where there's ignorance, it gives room for the enemy to operate. The thing is, oh God, people are seeking out power. People are seeking out, show me something. And we shouldn't always look for, this is going to really step on some toes. But we should always look for manifestations, not all the time, because you got to really, really make sure that it's God, because the enemy in this last day and time can make things manifest for you outside of the will of God according to your self-will and self-want.
Wow.
You know, and it bursts out the spirit of Babylon, mystery Babylon. Now, what I'm getting to, help me, Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
What's on the rise, people are seeking out power. So the more people are getting into not just going to psychics, but they're going to New Age stuff. They're doing more yoga. I'm seeing more Christians do yoga than the man on the moon. They only understood the gospel of yoga or the doctrine of yoga behind the practice of contorting your body. It's not just good exercise. That's not why yoga exists. But the reason people are seeking power, and one of the ways people are seeking power, even when it comes to spiritualism, and, you know, you even see Oprah doing transcendental meditation. People are doing these things to obtain power. They don't know, but they're obtaining things from the second heaven. But what's happening is the more that people start stepping into the spirit realm without God illegally, we are seeing a rise of people doing what is called astral projection. And astral projection is when you step outside of your body, and a lot of times people, even people, you'd be surprised who has to do this. There was a young man there was a pimp, and he was praying to the pimp god, prophetess, and he had to have certain intercessors to pray for him while he walked in the darkness of the spirit realm. But it wasn't, of course, it wasn't the divine realm. It wasn't where God was. It wasn't in the spirit. It was in the spirit world or in the cosmos, you know, where demons dwell and spirits and other human spirits walk around. And they stepped outside of their body, and they had to have someone interceding for him while he was outside of his body. Because according to the Bible in Ecclesiastes, that if someone comes to you outside of their natural body, that you have legal right as a son of God to cut their silver cord.
That's right.
You are connected. Your soul is connected to your body by a silver cord.
That's right.
Wow.
And it says when the silver cord is broken, it's cut, and the bowl is broken, it ends your life.
That's right.
So they have to have even intercessors on the side of darkness, in the kingdom of darkness, to make sure that they can enter a place or have safe transit, because wherever, I have another story before I really get to where I'm going, and I'm just going to kind of relax a little bit, but I got to get that out because not all, I'm thanking God because we're covering a lot of ground. There was a testimony of a young lady who was actually a witch, and she's now being converted over, Holy Ghost filled, saved. Actually an Indian lady, Hindu lady, and she was practicing transcendental meditation and stepping out of her body and chiming and healing colors and auras and all that.
Ooh.
And while she was outside of her body, she was actually trying to put roots on someone to try to harm them or try to go visit someone to do harm to them outside of her body. And while she was on the way to that person's house, Tiana, there was a woman of God and her husband in their home praying. Oh, bless God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Praying.
Wow.
The word says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. She could not go past the house. She said the house was surrounded by so many angels while she was outside of her body, that she could not move. She was paralyzed. Lord, we stepping on some stuff. Because according to the word, there's such a thing called a day spring. There's a prayer that you pray that's in the word. It says when you wake up in the morning, you say, God, I pray. And that's a scripture in the Bible says that when the day spring comes, that the Lord takes the ends of the day, the ends of the earth, and he shakes the wicked out of it. That every morning at 6 a.m., you can pray and cancel stuff at 6 a.m. because biblically that's the start of the day. In every time zone, every time region, and it's called the day spring. People who have to project and work witchcraft have to be inside of their bodies by 6 a.m. If they are not, they are kept out of their bodies and they die.
That's right.
What?
Yes, Lord.
Wow.
I know we are covering some stuff, but I experienced this, and I'll give my quick little testimony. But the more people astral project, the more people, people are so inclined to be full of lust and do different stuff. So one of the new things is to try to sleep with someone or desire someone, Lord Jesus, outside of your body while you're astral projecting. While this guy was praying to the pimp god, he was lusting after this one girl, and he said, I'm going to come and visit you tonight. She said, okay, I'll wait for you. And he lived, he lived like a state away. But she said in the middle of the night, prophetess, see, the enemy don't like this.
No.
Because he can uncover. He came, she said, in the middle of the night, her covers were snatched off of her. She heard somebody call her name. We didn't address that yesterday.
No,
she heard somebody call her name. And she thought it was him. And she was like, oh, my God, is my phone ringing? Did I leave it on? What's going on? And she called him back the next day. He said, did you see me? I came to visit you. She said, nobody came past my house last night. He said, I'm the one that took the covers off your bed. She hung the phone up. Yelling and screaming, hung the phone up. Because of what she had opened up her life to. I had an experience while I was in community college back in Baltimore. and I was going to Essex Community College, and at that time I was getting singing lessons, and mm-hmm. I was about to leave there and go to the drama department, and I mm-hmm. had a dream one night that I had a sexual experience with two individuals in my dream, and I woke up, and I had to bind the devil. So I woke up, bound the devil, went on to class, mm-hmm. went on to school, and I met the director who was about to introduce me to the professor over mm-hmm. the drama department. And when we walked in, the person turned around, shook my hand, smiled in my face, and then looked at me and stepped back and then started mm-hmm. smiling again and said, mm-hmm. "You look so familiar." This person had to be the same person in my dream. They looked exactly like the person in my dream.
Yes.
And wow. the whole time on the tour of the drama department, they were just mm-hmm. looking at me and staring at me and trying to hold my hand and rubbing my back and, do you like this department and do you want to join us and, we're going to have so much fun and here's my personal phone number. I didn't join the drama department. I ran as fast as I could because people, just how God has destiny set up for you in the realm mm-hmm. of the spirit, the enemy does too. And you have to cover your tracks. Am I in the will of God or am I in the good will? Am I in the perfect will or am I in the good will? There's no such thing mm-hmm. as the good or the acceptable. We just choose to walk good or acceptable. But are you in the perfect will? And when you're in the perfect will, it causes you to make sacrifices that you don't normally do. But the end result is God gets glory. So I just want to really throw that in there.
Wow. That's something. It's so much to know about the spirit realm. I mean, it's just really blowing my mind because what you just said about the man snatching the covers off the lady, I'm like, what? I had never heard of anything like that. Wow. Well, we're going to take one call. I do have one person want to add. I don't know if they want to ask a question or a prayer. So we're going to go ahead and take one call.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hello, once again. How you're doing? This is Apostle Baker.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. I just want to say that it's a blessing to be able to hear other in the kingdom of God revealing these things that the darkness, the tactics of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I did a spiritual warfare training where I covered quite a bit of that material. I just want to add that the husband and the night husband and the night wife, we also mm-hmm. refer to them as spiritual spouses, and they can keep men or women from becoming married, or they can interfere with a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they can also keep a woman barren as well, because they want to impregnate the woman themselves. There was a testimony of a young lady that was having challenges in her marriage, and it came out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere. She found her. There was this man visiting her at night, and
mm-hmm.
She got up and left her husband and went clear across some states. When she got off the bus and sat in the terminal, how about mm-hmm. that same spirit husband came and sat next to her and said, "I'm the one that calls you to leave your husband. Now I will be with you." So it is no joke, as they were saying, even with these with this incubi and succubi spirits, there are no sex to these demons, but they come in the form of. And you're so right in addressing that about the, I'm going to call it the wet dream syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And the masturbation, because you never have sex alone. You're also having sex with demons.
Yes.
Some
yes.
other things that occur with that is generational curses, too. that come mm-hmm. through the bloodline, if nobody has cut that curse off of a perversion, especially mm-hmm. sexual perversion, even the spirit of idolatry opens up the door for these
yes.
spirits to operate. And I am so glad that there are others who are releasing the things that I'm releasing. I know I'm not crazy, okay, that's for sure, but it sure is good to be able to connect, you know, like get a chain and connect those links together to cause mm-hmm. a reinforcement in the kingdom of God, because he said his people would perish for a lack of knowledge.
That's right.
It is so sad when we address it. This is the thing that is my prayer, is that the body of Christ, if we could just come in agreement with this, that the body of Christ will embrace spiritual warfare and not mm-hmm. be afraid of, and that leaders will not be afraid of their dirty laundry being aired, rather than, you know, I pray constantly that the God of this world will release, that he will be bound so that the man and woman of God can be set free, so that the body of Christ will be set free. And it's mm-hmm. not about airing somebody's dirty laundry. It's about setting the captives free. And if
That's
we,
right.
you know, my prayers, Lord, oh God, just touch their minds when they're in a stable state of mind, that they can hear the Holy Spirit when he says, I want to set you free. And you're right, God, there are going to be so many of them because of pride and because of fear. So
mm-hmm.
many are going to die in their season because
wow.
they would not mm-hmm. submit to God. God told me years ago that he had visited many in the bedroom of their, in the chambers of their bedroom, wanted
yes.
to talk to them, deliver them, minister to them, heal them, make them whole, and they refused. They turned a deaf ear to him. They turned over and went to sleep. And God said he even spoke to the leaders that were under authority of them, and they began to speak to the pastors, the bishops, you know, the apostles and the prophets of the house, and again, they turned a deaf ear, and God even allowed what we call the laymen of the body of Christ to begin
mm-hmm.
to have dreams and even visions and words of wisdom and knowledge, and it just went past. I had this dream, and I need to talk to you about it. I believe the Lord is saying those of whom God can trust, and the pastor was like, who are you to say that God spoke to you about me? I am the pastor. I am the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying that has hurt him so bad, it has grieved him so bad, till he is allowing the things that are hidden to come to pass in the forefront, because he has given the body of Christ so much time to repent of her sin and to turn from her wicked ways, to cry, to humble themselves and pray, and to just say, Lord, I need you. I need deliverance. However, there
mm-hmm.
is something else that is going on that keeps some of the people bound, some of the leaders bound, and that is no trust within one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because if
exactly.
I had a problem and I came to you about it and you aired my problem, then that's going to use that to keep the people bound, mistrust among each other. God, by God, but you know what? We be set free one way or another. We're going to
mm-hmm.
be set free. But
wow.
it is wonderful to hear that. I'm just jumping for joy to know that it is some other voices that sound in the alarm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. One thing I want to say, when you bring a word like this, you're not going to be popular. And the reason
okay.
why I say that, because a lot of people, they like what's going on. And to
mm-hmm.
be honest with you, even when it comes to them, the different incubus and succubus, they like that feeling, so they really don't want to be free from it.
A lot of them are embarrassed. You're right. Now, there are a lot that do enjoy it, because that is just a sinful nature, the perverse way that the enemy has caught, you know, in bondage them or enslaved them, made them sex slaves. But then there are so many also that are embarrassed, because not many people are talking about these things. So they don't want to be looked at as, oh, they think I'm crazy, or, you know, so it's such a touchy subject in so many ways. And my thing is, I am just praying that people will come forth. In my years of ministering deliverance to people, I don't think as much of anything I hadn't heard yet, you know.
Yeah.
So I just pray for those souls. So what I'm just saying, it's wonderful to hear, especially a tag team like this. Y'all bad, okay?
Great God.
Thank you
so
for tuning in.
I just wanted to make a comment.
Okay, thank you for tuning in.
You're welcome.
Okay, Apostle Conrad, I want to ask you a question. And she's so right. How do we get the people to come forth with things like that? Because that is a touchy subject, and a lot of people are embarrassed and they're ashamed. So a lot of times they're dealing with these kind of things going on in their life, but they're afraid to really come forth for help, for deliverance.
Yes. It's really going to start with the healing that needs to happen in the leadership, because most times the most broken people in those areas, and I don't mean brokenness to holiness, I mean the most toe up folk that have dealt with those issues are the people that God allows to become leaders. But if they don't come forth, then we train a people to lie to God. Yeah, we train a people not that you need to expose all your business. We're not trying to, because I've seen people do that, and then it seems like they give more glory to the enemy. But when it is a testimony and God has brought you out, then there is something that God did that you couldn't have done for yourself nor anyone else. And when it is that and it becomes a testimony, I think what has to happen is the leaders of the house or the leaders in this time, we really have to pray for leadership, number one, and then number two, that leadership come forth and allow the anointing flows from the head down. And there's no one in my congregation or people around me, you can't be healed if I'm not healed. And if you're getting what you're getting from God through that vessel, and that vessel is broken, then after a while you're going to follow in the same footsteps. So really I think it has to happen in leadership. And once we see, oh, wow, my leader is really delivered. They really dealt with this. They were where I was, but they came out. And that's the key, coming out. You know, and even for the people that are in it, if they come forth and say, hey, I'm here. I need deliverance. I need help. And us not being judgmental and shunning them, you know, and I think a lot of times we need to be rebuked for that. We are so quick to say, oh, you know, you a drug, you a prostitute, you a druggie, you a gangbanger, you're this, you're that, the other. But we in ourselves don't possess the power to get them free. So you're really worse off than the person in that sin, because you become the thing that cannot, you're representing Christ, but at the same time you're saying you can't get me free. All you can do is rebuke, but you can't get delivered. And that's what Jesus is after in the leadership. We are pointing fingers and preaching and throwing rocks from the pulpit. Lord, I don't know why you're checking me like this. But we don't come forward and say, look, I was cut just like you was. Get over it. Come on, get this balm of Gilead. We cannot continue to walk around hurt and cut and bruised and battered up. It's time to be healed. And of course, it doesn't happen overnight. But if you allow God to do it, he will do it.
Yes, Lord.
God will do it. You know, really got to allow yourself to be healed. So I think once we see the healing take place in the leadership, the power of God will flow, and it'll allow the people to say, you know what, I can be honest with God. I don't have to come to the church building or to the fellowship or to the intercessors meeting and continue acting like I'm saved and acting like I got power and changing my voice to a preaching voice. But I can come just as bare naked to God as God really wants to come to me. It's a Genesis thing that God wants to get us back to, where he came down in the cool of the day, and we heard the voice of God walking in the garden, and we communed with God. We didn't hide from God. We didn't cover, oh, God. It's so many excuses in the body of Christ of why we're not honest with him.
Yes, Lord.
Wow.
God wants us to be honest, and he'll be honest with us.
Mm-hmm.
God will show you why you can't put it down. Because the great grandmother couldn't put it down. Oh, because
Jesus. You talking about the generation of curses now.
I'm just going to lose this on the line even right now. God, I break every curse. Oh, God. Even God, God, even down to the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth generation, God, I break it in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
Every spirit of fornication, spirit of perversion, every lying spirit, God, let it be broken now in the name of Jesus. God, everything
yes,
that holds
God.
Your people captive, God, loose tonight in the
yes,
name of
God.
Jesus. God, you can receive your healing. You can receive your deliverance.
Yes, Lord.
You can be free. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank
Lift
you,
your
Jesus.
Hands and receive it right now. Free. Free in your finances. Free
yes,
in your marriage.
Lord.
Your children be free.
Yes,
be free from the curse. Be free from the head. Be free from the back.
Yes,
I break it in Jesus' name. Never to be put back together again.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
It's something you said that made me think back on a situation when I was in church. The man of God would call this man out, another man out, and would say, oh, yeah, you deal with, what was the spirit, a pornography. You deal with that. This is a man. Your husband, he watch porn while you sleep. Telling this woman this. Okay, now, if you see that he has this problem, he never got delivered from it. He never got delivered from it. It never delivered took place that he has left the church today. He's dealing with it on a whole nother level.
Jesus.
But all you would do is tell your husband he deal with pornography. Okay, it's one thing to see it. But it's another thing to ask, okay, God, you showing me this. What do I need to do to help this person to get delivered?
Right.
And that's what's not going on. That's not going on in the body. Like, everybody sees so much. They just see. Okay, yeah, I see it. Now what?
The funny thing, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
All of that is a lot of the times, especially what I've experienced in ministry with leaders such as that one right there, have motives. Some leaders, you know, have motives. Some of them have their own little agendas. And from just what I picked up from that, this leader exposed the husband because sometimes they come in to draw a wedge between the husband and the wife to cause divorce so that that leader can have his way with that woman or with that man in these days and times. I sat under a leadership, maybe about five, maybe like 6 years ago now, where the pastor wasn't always like this, but somehow got so power hungry where he became a warlock. This man visited us at night, and sometimes he was so bold with it because what we did not know and what we were not taught, he was so bold, he would visit us in the daytime. This man has followed me in hospitals. When I was at the hospital with my son, and I stayed at the hospital, and my mother came on my birthday. I was in the hospital with my son on my son's birthday, and she said, "Sharonda, not on my son's birthday, but my birthday." She said, "Sharonda, it's your birthday. You know, I'll stay up here. Why don't you go and have a good time?" And I understand you have a church picnic to go to. I said, "Yeah." Went to the church picnic, and I told him, I said, "Hey, I need you to be in prayer for my son, you know, because he's in the hospital, blah, blah, blah." He said, "Okay." He said, "Around about what time do you think that you guys will be leaving?" I said, "No, we're hospitalized." He was thrown off because I was at the picnic. He said, "Well, okay." That was that year, I think my birthday fell on a Saturday. So he said, "Okay." And so I went to church that Sunday. But before that Sunday came, I went back to the hospital, and I was walking through the hallways. And as soon as I turned the corner to go into my son's room, I saw this man walking. And I said, "Hey, Bishop," just like that, walking in the hallway in his suit. And I said, "Hey, Bishop." And he didn't say anything to me. He just had this blank stare, and he was looking at me like he was on a mission. And as soon as I saw that and I said, "Hey, Bishop," he disappeared. Now, my crazy self at that time ran in the room And I said, oh, my God, let me pick up some of these sheets and, you know, fix up my baby's bed so the room can be kind of tidy a little bit and you know, and things like that, thinking that the reason why I saw him in the spirit was because he was coming to visit. He never came. That particular night, I had the hardest time getting to sleep because my son, even on his hospital bed, he began to have nightmares to the point where even when he woke all the way up, that he began to fight. They tried to blame it on the morphine because my son had just came out of surgery as well. They tried to blame it on the morphine and everything. I went to church that Sunday. I said, Bishop, I just knew you was coming to the hospital. I said, because I saw in the spirit where you were walking down the hallway in this color suit. And he told me, he said, well, what about what time you think that may have happened? I said, it happened exactly about 6 o'clock p.m.-ish. You know, I was trying to catch the cafeteria before it closed, and I was on my way back in the room, and I saw you walking. And his reply to me, and there had always been a red flag in my spirit, but we would not leave the church because of fear at that time. His reply to me was, oh, I was praying for him, and I asked the Lord to send my spirit to the hospital. Astral projected.
Yeah.
He never really exalted Jesus, never really talked about Jesus, but he would always say his God or Lord, and he would always say, well, you know, the Lord or Father. He never said, well, my Father, our Father, or anything like that. He would say, well, Father allowed me to come and visit you in the realm of the spirit. And he said, and I came in the room to pray with your son. And I thought to myself, which would explain why he was having all these nightmares. I said, so that something's not right with that. You have to be very careful when people come to expose you. This is the same pastor who exposed a lot of husbands in the church. He had a woman coming in, sleeping with the different men. She was lulling them into a bedroom, to a hotel, wherever, and would sleep with these husbands just to keep them at the church. So when the job was done, they were like, okay, if you leave, I'll tell your wife what you did with this particular girl.
Ooh.
And in return, he bought her whatever she wanted. Anything she wanted, from trucks to designer bags, designer clothes, shoes. Her daughter was well taken care of. She transferred her daughter out of a city school into a private school where they was paying for the tuition and everything. So much so to where when everything started, when the cover starts coming off and the man was rising up and said, I'm taking my wife out this church, he began to expose over the pulpit. He would expose these men and say, you've done this and you've done that, and now you want to leave the church because you don't want to abide in holiness, all kinds of manners of mess. Sometimes there's a motive behind that. And then this man would go to the women, and some of the women had sense. Some of them, it was almost like being the old foolish Galatians. He went to one and told one girl, I can get your husband's spirit off of you, but you have to sleep with me to do that. Now, I know that sounds like sexual immorality, but it's really not, and I can prove it in Scripture that is biblical.
You know what? Prophetess, you on something. You on something. And the reason why I say that, because I know I was not in it, but I was in a ministry like that, where all these single women and the ones that was in it, it's almost like you might marry a few, but they ain't going to stay married long. It's just, oh, my God. Ooh, you on something.
Wow.
You on something. And to the point where they have you afraid to leave.
Yeah.
Are you going to die if you leave? You on something.
Yes. That was a big thing, that we would die if we left that ministry, that God would no longer have his favor upon us. Things would talk to us like, notice that no one in this church, as long as they are a member here, will have a funeral in the family. That was not a lie. No one in that church, if they joined that church, we did not have a funeral, and nowhere in the family, outside the family, not even a friend. No one died. But as soon as we left, freak accidents was taking place. People all of a sudden began to die. We lost one member. One bishop came to the church and prophesied our socks off and just began to move in the spirit of the Lord. And before you know it, that man dropped dead like the next week. Because he came in and began to uncover witchcraft. And so with all of that being said, we have to be very careful who we just submit our members to, even in the realm of the spirit, who we are submissive to, who we submit under. Because sometimes people are like, well, I was never really a lustful person, and I never dreamt like this, and I never saw this, that, and the other until I joined this church. You got to ask yourself why.
Wow.
Cause if
you know why it's like that? Because you know one thing I realized? If the anointing falls from the head down, what's on your leader going to be on your people.
That's right.
So if your leader is an adulteress, I can guarantee over half of the church is committing adultery.
I'm dealing with the same thing.
Even if you never, ever committed adultery before,
wow.
If you up
that's
under
right.
that leadership, a lot of times, especially if your spirit is open, you'll fall into it. And you're like, how I even get over here? I can talk about it because I've been there. See?
Yes.
But when I left, I got free.
That's
I got
right.
free. So,
and it's just
you
like
know,
what the woman of God was saying. I'm sorry to cut you off. I didn't mean to cut you
go
off.
Ahead, go ahead.
Just like what the woman of God was saying, I believe Apostle Baker was also addressing how sometimes we don't, you know, the Lord comes to us in our dream. Some of my greatest deliverance took place while I was asleep.
Wow.
Some of the
yeah.
most encouraging words took place while I was asleep. And that is so true because we ignore our dreams so much. And that is one of the main tools that God has to use. He can't get you while you're awake because you are distracted by entertainment, you're distracted by school, you're distracted by job, your husband or your wife or your children or, you know, the cares of the world. And, you know, the lines at Walmart was long, and by the time it came your turn, you just all irritated because the cashier slick went off on you and you going through the customer's right stuff, and then you come home and you're frustrated and you want to take a nap. And God is dealing with you about something in your sleep, and you ignore it, and you toss it out. There was a girl that had a dream, and I hated so bad she could not get to me, not just to me, but to any prophet who can hear the word of the Lord and can hear the Lord concerning his people. This girl died because her dream was trying to tell her that if she did not get her life together, that she would die and go to hell. And it happened swiftly. The girl dreamt, she said, I had a dream that I was still with this ex, and next thing you know, something happened where I ended up in this hospital room, and I was in the waiting room waiting to be seen, but these strange men and women began to eat on my body. They just started eating on me, and I started to scream, and I was trying to break away, and I couldn't break away, and I woke up. No one gave her the interpretation to that dream. No one. When I got the dream, the girl's funeral had already taken place.
Woo, Jesus.
When I tell you, the very next week, she was walking down the street just on her daily walk, and she tripped. She tripped over something and fell and sprained her ankle. Didn't go to the hospital because she thought it was a sprained ankle. You know, I'm just going to prop it up. And I'm gonna, how many times we do that? We sprain, we get a little slight sprain, and we prop up our ankle and things like that. She propped up her ankle, never really went to the hospital. And, you know, until it was too late, it was really, really swole. They wrapped up her ankle. But she caught a blood clot, and the blood clot traveled from her ankle to her lungs and from the lungs to her heart, and it killed her.
Wow.
She had the dream. It was during the Thanksgiving holiday. Right after that Thanksgiving holiday, that's when she had the trip and fall. And then after that, she was dead right before Christmas.
Wow.
Some people, we get a lot of warning. I tell you, I don't care how stupid the dream sounds, I pay attention to everything I see in my sleep, even if God did not give it to me. Because even in that, I'm like, Satan, if you stupid enough to attack me, then you were stupid enough to reveal what you trying to attack me at, and now I know how to play against you. Now I know how to stop you even concerning my own life. Oh, so you want to kill my son. Oh, so I'm dreaming that now my son is dying in a car accident, so you want to kill my son. I'm going to fix you. And so we have to pray against that. We had a woman that came to us and said, pray for the apostle. I had a dream that he died, but usually it's when, you know, when I dream about a man that it's a woman, and we begin to, you know, teach her, hey, you got to pray for this and you have to pray against that. And the three of us went in warfare so tough to where even when the weapon formed, it did not prosper. And do you not know, she said the person, you know, she said the apostle was preaching in this pulpit, and all of a sudden he had this heart attack and just died. And I said, the devil is alive. She said, but it's not going to be apostle. She said, usually it's a woman that's very, very close to the apostle. And the enemy put it in my spirit. He said, I'm coming after you. And as soon as he said that, now my spirit, the first thing my spirit said was, no, I'm coming after you first. And then the fear started coming on. I'm like, oh, Lord. And we began to pray. In that season, the enemy tried to attack me with strokes, heart attacks, everything. He tried everything. Didn't prosper.
So, okay. So it's safe to say, even with the young lady with the dream, she dreamed about the people eating on her flesh. That's prophetic. That's really prophetic. It's really no interpretation to that dream.
No.
Because it came to pass. So when we dream like that, instead of always looking for interpretation, should we just begin to pray and, and let God release the interpretation? Or you get what I'm saying?
Girl, if I was in Jacksonville, Florida right now, I would be giving you all kinds of high fives. Yes. Because I think sometimes, yes, Apostle, we can cancel stuff. Some things don't need interpretation. And I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing about Transformation Ministries and Shamar Ministries is we hate to offend anybody. Don't wish to offend no one. But if God don't give us the interpretation, you can't make us have it.
Exactly.
Even when I don't get an interpretation for something, sometimes I have to go away and pray. And sometimes in prayer, God would say, don't come to me with that. If I've been releasing to them, it's not time for them to have it. You have to be led to take your dream to a prophet or a prophetess or an apostle or whoever God tells you. You have to be led by God to get an interpretation, lest you become like Saul. It's just like the witches of Endor, you know, when Saul was really trying to hear from Lord, and he couldn't get a word from the Lord, and he just could not hear, and, oh, I just need to hear God's voice, and what is this, and what is that, and why, blah, blah, blah. He turned to witches and said, this is so desperate to get a word. So what he turned to some witches, and he told them, he said, I need you, I don't want to hear from the witches. I just wish that Samuel was still here. So much so that he had witches, stupid move, to conjure up Samuel. So he thought it was Samuel when he was really entertaining a familiar spirit. You got to be careful about wanting the word from the Lord so bad to where you go, I don't care how much they look like a prophet, sound like a prophet, I don't care how much scripture they quote, I don't care how much Bible they know, I don't care how many schools they went to. If God is not giving you the interpretation to your dream, and if the prophets of the Lord are not releasing it to you, it's okay to wait. You're not going to die. It's not going to kill you. It's okay to wait on your interpretation. You know, we have to learn how to let patience have its perfect work. And, you know, and sometimes we get so, I get anxious because I am a dreamer. I can go to sleep and have about 10 dreams. And and sometimes they make my head spin. But if God does not release to me the interpretation, see, a lot of people say, oh, I thank God for you, prophetess, but I sometimes wish I had somebody I could thank God for concerning my dream, because I don't have anybody that I can go to and say, look, I had a dream, and then hope I get an interpretation. I have to go to the Lord and pray, because God hasn't given me anybody to go to for, you know, for my dream. He's taught me how to do it. How do I interpret my dreams then, prophetess, if I can't go to nobody, if I can't bring it to you or somebody else? Not that you can't bring it to me, because for some of you on the line, God has instructed you to call in on this line so that you can get answers, but also so that we can teach you how to duplicate the gifts of God as well, which means search the scriptures. Everything lines up with the word. If you're dreaming about tornadoes all the time, if you're like me, you're dreaming about tornadoes all the time, look up whirlwind. What is another name for a tornado? Whirlwind. Look up whirlwinds in your Bible. If you don't have a concordance, that's a wonderful tool to have if you are a heavy dreamer, because you can treat your concordance like it's a dream dictionary, and it's over 1,000 pages in that concordance. You're dreaming about houses all the time. Look it up in the Bible. Look it up in your concordance and see what's the Greek and the Hebrew word meaning for that. What is God saying? I had tornado dreams back to back, back to back, back to back, and I was always running and running and running from tornadoes. And it took me over 20 years to learn that every time I dreamt of a tornado and I ran, God said, all these times, all these years, I've been coming to you in the form of a wind and you ran from me.
Wow.
All these times. Now I can go to sleep and face a tornado. Not realizing that God, even at a young age, was giving me the authority to be able to step outside, because we live in the South, and you know tornadoes will spin up in a minute. God has given us the authority, given me the authority to go outside and face tornadoes and speak to it, and it has to dissipate. No choice at all. We almost had one last night.
Wow.
And I had to speak to the wind until the rain stopped. One lady said, Sharonda, on this side of town, she said, I've never seen nothing like it in my life in Memphis, Tennessee. Hail covered our whole yard. But the Lord had me rebuking tornadoes, and I had no idea what I was doing. All I know is I couldn't get out of the car. I could not move. People were waiting on me, so we turned to go in the store, Sharonda, we're waiting on you. I could not move, but all I could do in my spirit was curse tornadoes, because I felt this storm is not godly. On my side of the town, it looks okay. I feel peace, but somewhere else is not right. And these people is about to have a tornado. We got to be told in the Holy Ghost just that serious, so that we can know, because we had an assignment for them. There was an assignment that God had us to go to, and the enemy was trying to get in that. The enemy was trying to stop the assignment. I'm going to cut off because I know some people need their dreams interpreted.
Well,
but yeah,
I'm going to bring one call in. The rest of you, if you want to have a dream interpreted prayer or anything, you're going to have to call in and press 1. That's the only way I know that you're calling in for a comment or anything like that. But I'm going to bring a caller in now.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hi, Prophetess Sharonda. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. Prophetess Tiana is my best friend, and I told her that I needed some prayer. I went in last week to get a mammogram because I found a knot in my breast, and sure enough, it came back that I had a knot in there, but they still have not deciphered what it is. So tomorrow I have to go back in to get another mammogram, plus they're going to do a sonogram on my breast. So, I mean, I trust me, I do have faith because I've been delivered from lupus. I've gone through bilateral hip replacements that God has brought me out from there. And I was supposed to be dead and gone, but God brought me from a mighty long way. So I definitely know that God is a miracle worker. So I just, you know, sometimes you just need a little bit of re-encouragement sometimes, because the devil will play on your mind to try to get you, you know, to fall weak. And I know my reason for being that. I mean, Tiana knows the story, but I went through some things at church before I left, and it was something that should not have taken place, and I know that it was wrong, but the reason that I left is because I was constantly getting badgered about the situation, you know, even after me praying to God, and I'm knowing that God had forgiven me for what I've done. But I was constantly being called out across the pulpit and being rebuked and saying judgment was going to fall on me. And at that time, I just, you know, I would go to church, but I wasn't feeling anything because all I could think about is what was being told to me, what was being said. So I couldn't see any further than what was told, even though the word was good. And, you know, I spoke with my husband, and, you know, we decided, because he was put in an awkward position himself with the situation that took place, and we just decided that we were going to leave the church. And we left, and we've been gone now about a year and a half, and I told Tiana, you know, it seems like to me this is the hardest thing for me to do, is to get back in church, no matter how hard I try. Every time, you know, I try to get to that point, it's like something is just holding me down and trying to keep me from getting there. And it's really, really mind-boggling, and it's painful, because I know that I have a work that I'm supposed to do for God, because of what I've been through with my sickness. I know that he didn't bring me out for nothing.
That's right.
But because of what I endured, you know, throughout and felt throughout being there all that time, it's like I've developed this church hurt, and I've put up this guard that I'm afraid to go into another place, because I don't want to feel that way anymore. I don't want to feel like I'm bound. I just don't want to feel that way anymore. And I'm just, at this point in time, I'm just like, I'm stumped. I am really, really stumped.
Wow.
And
I'm going to pray. Really, that God gives you strength, because I heard the Lord the whole time you were talking. I heard the Lord say that you were built for this. God, your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, everything about you, you are a lot stronger than what you realize. Because if you was not made for this, this would have taken you out. If it was your time, I want you to understand something concerning your body. When it's your time to go, you're going to go. And it's not your time.
Okay.
I don't sense death. My discernment, and I'm not trying to get you to put your trust in me by any means. I always direct everybody to the Lord. However, my discernment is very, very keen when it comes to a person, especially when it comes down to someone that's about to pass, or to someone who's going to be well, or if what the sickness is and things like that. Firstly, I do believe that this sickness is very much spiritual and it's not a natural sickness, even though it's showing up in your natural body. I'm also picking up stress, mental stress, and, of course, that you don't have to tap into prophetic to know that because of your testimony, but I'm also picking up stress even in the realm of the spirit. But most of all, woman of God, you are not going to die. I know a woman right now. I know a woman at this second. She is probably at home getting her daughters to cook for her, because she's very spoiled. We love her to life. She is supposed to be dead right now. I mean, as we speak. The doctor told her she had, Apostle, what was it? They told her she had 6 weeks to live.
Yes,
they
ma'am.
Gave her 6 weeks to live. She has cancer. Cancer spread all through her body. It has spread all through her body. She's got all of her hair. She's got long hair, actually. She's very thick, a very thick girl, beautiful. She drives around. She gets around. She may have a little pain here and there, but usually her pain is, you know, directed because of, you know, exercising and things like that, like, oh, girl, I hurt my knee or something like that. But this woman was supposed to have been dead. This has been a little bit longer than 5 or 6 months ago when they gave her 6 weeks to live. She is doing well. I mean, when I say well, I wish I could introduce you to her personally. And she is not going to die. And God says she's not going to die. The same anointing that I feel when we told that that woman was not going to die is the same exact anointing. And I just wish you could really, just really hear God on this one. You ain't going nowhere. I hate to use broken and bad English, but you ain't going nowhere. You are not going to die. One. Two, you are anointed. You are highly anointed. And when people see you, I have no idea what you look like. I don't know your complexion, anything, your race, whatever. I mean, maybe your sex because you're a woman, of course, but I don't know anything about your description. But when leaders look at you, they get intimidated for some reason because you are a seer. And most people, when they're in leadership, if they don't have any understanding of who they are themselves in the Lord, they will get intimidated. So they'll cast judgment on you. They'll speak over you in the pulpit, and they'll say, oh, this is going to happen to you. That's going to happen to you. The reason why you got cancer in your body is because you're a witch. I've been through it all. I don't mind saying so. Even Ty Hall came to my church and said, this woman is a witch. You need to sit her down. I don't know two things about that man, and that man don't know two or three things about me. And I'm just thinking, like, Lord, what did I do, God? Because I didn't jump up on the front row. I'm trying to discern what the man is saying. I've had women to beat me up in the church, woman of God, physically, not spiritually beat me up, not verbally, but I've had women to act like they were shouting, and they purposely came on the front row and just started punching me. I've had women to throw me in the corner. I've had women to snatch me up off the pew, and I was told by my leader at that time, shut up and take it, and you better not fight back, and you better not deal with this, because I'll deal with it myself. And, you know, and I had to take all of that. I didn't have to take it, but because I was up under certain leadership, I was taught to take it. Because I was not equipped enough, so they told me to deal with it, that they would handle it, and they never handled it. And I kept going through abuse in the church. I was raped. I have been molested. I have been through everything you could think of. I had it good when I was out in the world. It was all right. You know, I didn't struggle like that when I was in the world. It wasn't until I came to the church.
Right.
My greatest heartache happened to me in the church house, and it caused me to get bitter. It caused me to operate out of a self-righteous spirit. It caused me to operate out of a you can't tell me because I know when God talked to me. And it caused me to get negative and hurt and all of that. But the Holy Ghost, of course, in my dream, that was one of my deliverances that had to take place. That took place was in my dream. The Lord had to come and heal me. In my dream, even awake, a man came in the church and laid hands on me seven times, and I went out seven times, and he kept saying, pick her up, pick her up, pick her up. He said, because you won't kill nobody in this house. And he told the people, I don't know how this man knows, and I'm telling you my testimony for a reason because I want you to know I've been through that. He told those people, he said, woman of God, you will not abort your assignment and end up in jail because you killed somebody in this church. I was bullied. I was picked on. I was talked about. I was pushed aside. I was criticized. Anything you can think of in this particular church, it happened to me, and I started carrying switchblades on me to the church. And I said, if she say one more word to me, God, you want to forgive me, I'm going to jail. And I was so serious. It got so bad. So whenever I thought this woman was going to come near me, I had my switchblade in my hand. I was ready to cut this girl's throat. I had visions of slicing this woman's throat. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest. Can I free myself? You know, we were talking about leaders not being real. Okay. I want to cut this woman from ear to ear. I wanted to hurt her so bad. I wanted her dead. This man had to pray for me. He had to pray. To the point where God delivered me. And when I got up off of that floor, I felt sorry for her. I said, well, Lord. And that's when the spirit of love came on the inside of me even the more. And now when people treat me like that now, I can't help but to be like, oh, wow. Well, God, you know, you need to open the eyes. And God, sometimes we get upset and things like that, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last because of Christ dwell on the inside. I don't know where my switchblade is. I think it's in the garbage somewhere. Ain't no telling where that thing is because I don't need it because my word does the work. The word that Mm-hmm. Place in me does the work. So I want to begin to pray for you even now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every assignment on this woman of God's life. I command for that lump to dissipate now. In the name of Jesus, woman of God, just lay your hands wherever that lump is. I decree in the name of Jesus that that cancerous cell, wherever it is, that mass, that it will dry up right now and it will never return again. In the name of Jesus, God, I release your anointing. I release your power. I release your spirit upon her even now. In the name of Jesus, every spiritual bully, God, shut the mouth of every liar. Shut the mouth of every bully. God, shut the mouth of every naysayer toward this woman. In the name of Jesus, God, begin to pray for around people who will speak peace in her life.
Yes.
They will speak peace to her mind, to her body, to her soul, to her spirit. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that she will take on strength. God, I decree and declare that she will take up her bed and she will walk into the little sin that I'm going to hire her to. I destroy the plans of the devil now in the name of God. In the name of Jesus.
Y'all got to just hold on a minute. The call dropped with Apostle.
You reached the voicemail of Apostle Conrad Bowman. Sorry I'm not available at the moment.
It ain't nothing but the devil.
Okay, we're back.
Okay. All right, we're going to take this other call. Hold on a minute. Hello, Paula. God bless you. How are you today?
Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the line.
Hello. I've been diagnosed with bipolar for 18 years, and I need restoration, encouraging word from the Lord, and the devil stole my marriage, and I'm alone now, and I've been having dreams about this one guy I met, and also dreams about my ex-husband, and I don't know what the Lord's trying to tell me.
What are the dreams, if you don't mind, because your answers may be in your dreams.
Well, I had three dreams about this man, Ian, that I know, and I'm so nervous right now, I can't remember, but one of the dreams I had last was about my ex-husband, where he looked all restored, and there was a man that we both know, he's a builder, and he's a construction guy, and he was at our house, at my house, at my apartment, and I was laying on the couch, but it was really weird because I just had a t-shirt and underwear on, and my ex-husband threw me a pair of jeans, a designer jeans, and out of the jeans came like a black net, and it fell to the ground. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, I got a pair of designer jeans. And I'm like, I don't wear clothes like that. And I was like, oh, they're really nice. And then it went right to, after I put on these jeans, to a letter from Ian that said, inside the letter was a pair of bra and panties. And it said, I thought you should have these because you're getting back with your ex-husband. And I said to the Lord in my dream, I said, can you show me Ian's heart? And he showed me Ian dressed in a suit and him opening up doors for me while we were going to a store. And all of a sudden he saw this beautiful woman and he turned and he followed her. And I was left alone, and then I saw myself in a coffee shop with the sun beating down on me, really, like, nice and warm. But I was drinking the coffee by myself, and I was all by myself. But then today I had a dream about Ian where my dad was with he looked like my dad, but I think it was God, and he was laying in my bed with me today, and he got out of bed, and he left me a quarter, and I heard my mom say, well, hurry up, everybody wants to take a shower because they're all full of sea salt from the ocean, and my dad goes, why didn't you go with, and I said, because they're all friends with Ian. And I saw a whole bunch of men running, like younger men running on the beach. And then I saw my dad put on a pillowcase of like a red pair of underwear on the pillowcase. And I woke up.
Let me ask you a question. The person, are you still with this husband? He's your ex-husband, you said?
It's my ex-husband, yes.
Okay. And the other guy in the dream, who is he to you?
He was just a guy that I saw a couple times, and I just went on a couple dates with him, and that was it.
Okay. Because what I was picking up, sometimes, you know, we can, you know, end up in relationships and things like that, and it does not be the relationship that God has for us, or sometimes it is the relationship that God has for us, and the enemy will come in and he would do his thing, and people would end up in divorce and things like that. But woman of God, in this case, you had a lot of traps set for you in this dream. That the husband who you actually married and divorced, you being divorced was the smartest move that you have made pertaining to your life, and you have to really depend on the Lord when it comes down to a mate. I don't even know if you want to even be married again or if you want to date again or anything like that, but neither one of those guys are your husband, neither one, which is probably why you say you only dated the other guy just a couple of times and then you just let that be. The fact that the sun was shining down on you was representing the fact that the Lord was with you, that the sun was shining down on you, because anytime you see the sun in a dream or you see such a luminous light in a dream, it represents the spirit of the Lord. However, especially when you know that it comes from the sun, but sometimes you can see light in the dream and it does not always represent the spirit of the Lord. Sometimes the light in the dream can also represent the enemy, because the Bible said that the angel oftentimes will come in the form of light, or he will present himself as an angel of light, if you want to be exact to what the Lord, you know, was said according to the word. Okay. Also, according to what the apostle is also picking up in his spirit, the spirit of rejection, that's why you've been diagnosed with bipolar. You're not bipolar. The enemy is bombarding your spirit, and he is bombarding your mind and your heart, and it's almost like you're seeing stuff and you're dealing with this, and one minute I'm this way, then the next minute I'm that way. You're having all these mood swings and things like that. It's a mixture of the enemy coming against you and a mixture of also you having prophetic sentiments. And if you're not careful, and if you go to a hospital, and I'm not saying that you are or you're not bipolar, but if you go to a hospital, and, yeah, Apostle said you're not, and I'm going to let him speak in just a second so he can say everything that the Lord is giving him to say. But sometimes we can go to a hospital because our mind is racing so much. I'm one of those people where we'll go to the hospital for something prophetic and they will chop it up as a disease, and it's not so. Because if people deal with me on a regular basis, the first thing they'll think is this girl is bipolar. Something's wrong with Sharonda, because one minute I'm laughing with everybody at the table, and then all of a sudden I'm, you know, and I'm like, leave me alone, get away from me, let me have my moment, and I'm picking up something in the realm of the spirit, and then I have to pray it out, and then I can come back to my daily activities and, you know, and kick it with my friends and laugh and go back to doing what I was doing, because sometimes urgent, you know, things will happen in the realm of the spirit where it will cause us to shift, and sometimes we're picking up the spirit of the Lord. Sometimes we're picking up the mind of God, and we begin to feel what he feels, and if we're not careful, we'll chop it up as being bipolar. But in your case, this is demonic oppression.
Yes.
And God is coming to deliver you. The reason why you had to call in on the line tonight is so that deliverance can come to your house. And, and when I say to your house, I mean to the house of your spirit. Because even in that, even in visions, even dealing with the natural, your house, when I say your house, I'm talking about your spirit, man. I'm talking about you, woman of God. God wants to come in, and he wants to strip all of that out of you. The fact that your parents, when they gave you some designer jeans, that was a spirit of deception. You dealt with a lot of deception from your husband. I don't know why I'm picking up a lot of infidelity and a lot of cheating and things like that, but this man dogged you out, so to speak. And maybe it was because he did not understand you, but for the utmost reason was because he was never your husband in the first place. Thank God for that. The reason why I can say that, because when the jeans fell to the ground and turned to a black net, that's a trap.
Wow.
He was trying to get you into bondage, woman of God. That ain't God. God wants you to walk in freedom. The word of God said that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I decree and declare even now over your life, woman of God, that you will be free from the spirit of bipolar, that you will be free from every spirit that comes to torment you, from every tormenting spirit, every retaliating spirit. And I decree and declare that God will show you who you are in the Lord, that you will begin to walk in destiny, that you will go forth in his presence, in his spirit, and that you will go forth in the love of Jesus Christ even now.
Yes, I just want to, just before we move on, I just want to pray for you, if that's okay. God, we just thank you right now. God, I thank you, God, that you will begin to cover, God, cover her mind, Lord Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we just thank you, God, for her life, God, and at this point in her life, God, I thank you, God, for uncovering, God, everything, God, every trap that's been laid there. I speak against the spirit of abandonment and neglect. God, and rejection, God, has been there. God, the people that have done some mean things to her, God. People have really done some mean things. And, God, I just ask, God, that they be removed, God. Even the people around her, God, that's not good for her. God, toxic relationships, God, begin to cut them in the name of Jesus. God, the torment, God, and the confusion, God, that tries to visit her in her sleep. God, I ask, God, that you would take that away. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, God, that you're calling her even the more closer to you, God. God, that this was no accident tonight, God, that she's not just calling her in because of her need, but God, because of the need, God, that's going on in her family. God, I ask, God, that you would meet every need. God, that you would go in, God, and search out, God, everything that's been hidden, God, in the darkness, God, that the darkness would move, God, all of the clouds and the cloudiness, God, and the God, send clarity, God, to what she hears and what she sees, in the name of Jesus, God, and begin to cut, God, every spirit, God, everything, God, that's been allowed, God, everything that has touched her, God, every person that's touched her, God, begin to cut every soul tie, God, that she can find her mate, her kingdom mate, God, her husband, man, Father, God, her covering, in the name of Jesus. I speak it into your life. I speak healing in your life. I speak restoration in your life. And that tonight it changes. That tonight it changes. That tonight it changes. In the name of Jesus. And then you won't have to go back. You won't have to return because you feel sorry or because of pity or because of sadness or depression that it would leave you, that it would leave your mind. I speak to your mind.
Hallelujah.
God, it will come in order. And that you're crying. That your tears of sorrow. So much, I just pick so much melancholy. Oh my God. So much depression. That you won't have to take medicine for what you feel. But Jesus is the balm of Gilead. He can heal anything. Even in your emotions that have been broken and that you've been used. That total healing would take place in the name of Jesus. And he loves you so much. And you need to know that he loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. Right where you are, in the condition you are, with everything you're feeling, everything you're dealing with, he has not left you. He loves you. Let his love restore you. Let his love build you.
Yes.
And it's done. We're calling it done. And we claim the victory over your life right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's a new day. I got to tell you that. It's a new day. Look for some new things. Look to do some new things, some new places. Hallelujah. God, give her peace, God. Give her peace, God. Peace, God, in the name of Jesus. Then when you lie down tonight, you lay down in peace and not worry. Peace. Mind can stop wondering. He's giving you peace tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Above all understanding. It's a passive, your understanding. You don't have to understand everything. Just relax in God. Jesus loves you.
Yes, God. God bless you, woman of God.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
To God be the glory.
Yes,
all right, everyone. We got 22 minutes and we have three more callers on. If we do not get to you today, we're going to have this show tomorrow and Tuesday night, same time. So you guys, please tune in. But we're going to try to get everybody today. So we're going to be ready to take another caller. God bless you, Paula. You're on the line.
Yes, yes. This is Apostle Michael Davis. How are you all doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good. I was calling to just tell Apostle Conrad Bowman and Prophet Sharonda Bowman, keep on keeping on, letting the Lord use you, and doing the will of God, and let heaven smile upon you.
Amen.
I just want to say, hey, Apostle! No, just kidding. Prophetess, this is our...
That's our brother.
That's our brother. That's our best friend there. And he has been really... He is very anointed. He's really been praying for us and been pushing us as well in ministry. So, it's good to hear them on the line tonight.
And I, brother, I'm going to be calling you because I was facing some things today, so I'm going to be calling you.
Yes,
praise
you
God.
All have,
but
you all have
that's
been in my spirit, too. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome, awesome. I'm just thankful to God that you all are moving in the things of God, in your calling, and how God has greatly anointed you, and you all have not seen nothing yet.
Mm-hmm.
you haven't seen nothing yet.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My God, because you know that appointed place and time where we have talked about in our sessions before. When that
yes.
when that happens, look out, devil.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God
bless you, Apostle.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just honored to be on.
All right, we're going to take another call. Hello, call, you on the line.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. This is Myers calling. Just a quick dream. I reading to Apostle and Prophetess and to you, Magnus Sayana. Dream I had a few weeks ago. Can you hear me pretty well?
Yes, you can hear me.
Okay, great. Dream I had a few weeks ago, I was lying in bed one afternoon, and I saw myself in the air, and I was in conversation with someone, and we were discussing the election, and I saw the current administration winning the election, and then the dream shifted. And it was as if I was in midair, and I saw this bomb drop on this city, and the bomb exploded, and the explosion was so real, so graphic to it. When it exploded, I jumped up out of the dream, and I said, "God, what was that?"
Hmm.
And that was it.
Ooh. Yep. Jesus. It's not that we don't have the interpretation to that dream. First of all, I'm speechless because you're tapping into dreams that I've had and Apostle have had concerning the United States. Our best advice to you is to pray. And don't take that as a cliche, man of God. Pray.
Okay.
Pray for the nation. Pray for the United States. Pray, and I'm going to turn this over to the apostle in just a second. Pray. If you can sense the urgency out of my spirit, pray. The Holy Ghost, and I can't say name, because it won't be wise. I'm not going to bring out names or anything concerning this election. But Father, this can tell you, the Holy Ghost gave me a dream and specifically told me, do not vote for this. I said, oh, wow. I said, okay. Well, I wasn't voting anyway, but okay. Now, whoever gets offended at that, then fine. Then the Lord told me, he said, this is what I want you to do. And I said, okay. And in between those two dreams, I had two dreams. One dream was telling me not to vote for this person. Then the other dream told me to vote for this person. That has never happened to me all the years that I've been living on the face of this earth and been at the age to vote. This has never happened. So this lets me know that this is something, not only is this something going on in the political world, there's always something going on there, but this is a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we're knocking on the door of the end times. We think we're already in the end times. We ain't seen end times.
Mm.
And so my advice to you, men of God, is to pray. Pray
your face off concerning this nation. And I'm telling you that, and I'm about to turn this over to Apostle, and I'm telling you that because some things are just not lawful for me to say right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that over the line. But I'm going to pass this over to Apostle. Ooh, Jesus. That was confirmation.
Wow. I just really want to echo the same thing, really to pray for the nation. Yes, Lord. Because really right now, the nation's pants is kind of sagging in a way because of what's going on the East Coast. You know, Sandy has really hit hard, and we're still praying
mm-hmm.
for those that are still without power,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
that are still being affected by that storm. But pray, because there's a lot of things going on, even in the midst of the election, and it's not over yet. And people really need, I know you've probably cast your ballot and your vote, but you need to pray for the nation. And I'll
wow.
throw it in there, the security of the nation. Because while we're not paying attention, well, we're all paying attention to one thing. The enemy
hmm.
going to come in and hit. And then it's going to be a real presidency for the person that goes in office. So you really pray, whoever goes in office, God, I'm heaven, I don't care who gets in office and tries to do what God said. It says in the word that heaven rules in the affairs of men. And
yeah.
God can turn the heart of the king any which way he wants it to go. Because
yeah.
I don't care what anybody says, the righteous rule the world. So you need to be in prayer. The people that listen, you need to be in prayer in the next couple of days. And even, or I really would say in the next 7 days. I really speak that by the Spirit of the Lord. You really need to be in prayer in the next 7 days
yeah.
by what happens. There are a lot of things that are about to happen. And I'm going to put this, just establish this, but in the next 7 days. For some of you, there's some Lord Jesus, there's some things that are going to break with immediate results. God said tomorrow, Monday, tomorrow will be a day that the world will never forget. And I don't know what I'm saying, but God said you need to be attentive and you need to stay watchful and prayerful. This week is going to be a monumental week in not just the history of America, but the history of people on the planet Earth. People need to be in prayer. People need to pray. People need to pray. Need to pray.
Ooh, woo. Yes, Lord.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
Amen. Amen. I receive that.
All right. God bless that call. We got to take another call. But before we take this call, I got a testimony of a young lady that called in about the night of her breath. She just texted me and told me that her entire body has been on fire and the night is gone. That is
yes,
glory
he's not
going to.
Glory to God. Glory to God. She's going to go in tomorrow and they're not going to find it. They're not going to find
it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Ooh, Jesus, Jesus. Let's try to take another call. Ooh, God. Mm. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hi, y'all. Little boy, shut up.
Hello, glory.
You're on the line. You're on the line. Hello, Carly. You're on the line.
Yes, hi. Thank you, woman of God. I had a dream about me standing in the check cashing place. And there were some girls that were standing behind me, and they were being rude towards the guy that was cashing the checks and saying that he was taking so long. So I went up to him and I gave him a check for $7,000. And I don't think I can see what the $7,000. I didn't see the money was behind it. And he got on the phone and he was taking all day to give me the money. And when he started to count the money back to me, he gave me $12,962. And I looked at him. And he just smiled at me. I said, well, you gave me too much money. And the dream shifted where I was doing a conference and I was paying for the room. And I gave him my credit card. And when he swiped it, it said denied. I said, no, you need to run that again because I know what I have on there. And he ran it again. and it said, "Good night." I said, "I know I have $600 and something, which will only have left me like with $10 left after I pay for the room." I said, "Well, hold on, let me step over to the side and call the card again." And so I called the card, and it said the same thing the man gave me at the check cashing place, which was $12,900 and something. And then the dream ended.
That was spiritual. Not only is God trying to bless you in the area of your finances, God is trying to bless your socks off, because I, woman of God, just had a dream. Well, I don't remember. Was that wasn't last night. It was night before last. I had a dream where someone gave me $60,000. God is about to bless the saints, but it's for a reason. So when your blessing comes, use wisdom. I don't know if it's going to be in that amount, but also I'm going to let Apostle say what he just wrote down, because he's, while I'm talking, look, you ought to see it. When he's talking, I'm writing, and when I'm talking, he's writing. So God is, like, really flooding us right now with these interpretations, but God is about to really bless you in the area of your finances, and there's some things that's about to be forgiven concerning you that the enemy don't want, because one of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using against the body of Christ is abundance in the area of our finances, because a lot of the people who possess the spirit of Christ on the inside of us, we're givers, because Christ was a giver, you know, and so we're givers by nature, you know, it's not by nature, but by spirit, and so what happens is the enemy will bind us up in the finances, and when we want to sow and when we want to give freely, it's like financial freedom keeps the spirit of depression away. You know, they say, well, money ain't everything, and, you know, money ain't the answer to everything. And I'm like, you a lie. In my case, it is, because I'm not, you know, I'm only stressed when I find out something's going on financially. Mm-hmm. Then I just give God glory, and it goes away and things like that. But if money, in this case, money answers everything over here. So I'm saying that to you, basically, and I'm being comical, but I'm saying that to you to say, woman of God, that God's not only about to bless you, but the enemy is launching an attack on your finances. And mm-hmm. I'm going to turn it over to Apostle, because there's something that he wants to say concerning that dream as well.
Praise God. I got to give it to you the same way that God's giving it to me. I'm seeing a really, really hard struggle beyond your finances. That's really affected you. And really in the past, God's really just shown me the past 4 months. But God said to me to tell you that he is canceling a debt of $2,900. And that's the exact amount that he gave me, $2,900-some-odd. I don't know how it was racked up or how it came against you or loans or what. But God said that amount, and that God is canceling that debt just to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show you. And what he's going to replace it with is something that you worked, and you're not, there's something going to be, there's a check coming to your house. That's what's really going to happen. There's a check coming to your house, and you don't know where it's coming from. But you worked for only years ago, God's going to release that check to you. Watch God.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. All right. God bless you, Paula. We got to take the next call. God bless you. Okay, you guys, we have 7 minutes. We're going to try to take, I have other calls. I don't know if we're going to get through this. If we do not get to you today, trust me, call tomorrow, call Tuesday. We will get to you. So let's take this caller. And we got to make it quick because we have 7 minutes. Hello, call you on the line. Hello.
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 Hello, you're on the line.
Hello.
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 Okay, we're going to take the next caller. Hello, caller, you on the line?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, woman of God. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
This is Evangelist Roebuck. I finally got a chance to get in.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I've been listening. I caught the tail end. I was calling. You know my situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm calling for. I'm still dealing with the struggle of forgiveness with the young man that killed my daughter. And just when I asked God to give me the spirit of forgiveness, I'm almost there, and then something happens where I'm angry all over. And then next month is her and her brother's birthday, so I'm really just going through. I'm not saying I'm going to walk in the spirit of depression, but I know when it's coming around me, and I'm speaking the word of God. Speaking healing and deliverance and knowing that God is going to do it. And I've been asking God to please give me a dream or something with my daughter that I know in my heart and in my spirit that Khalil is with God. I know that. But I really need for God to really let me know, because I can make it if he just really give me that. I've been praying for an encounter with God just so I know without a shadow of a doubt that everything's okay with me and I can go on. But it's really hard, especially next month on December 31st, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I'm praying for my son, her twin brother, because I've been having dreams about people trying to kill him. And, you know, I know it's the enemy, but I called mm-hmm. in for the man and woman of God to just pray for me, because I am a woman of God and I know the word. But sometimes we still, as we give out, we still need to get it.
Amen.
And that's why I'm calling.
Amen.
Yes, I have purposely asked first. It's coming, and she is so fine in the arms of God. And this is difficult, and God's going to help you with it. But you really have to hit a switch in your spirit to release that young man.
Come on, hang it up.
And there's so much easier said than done. And nobody's in your shoes. You're in your shoes, so you know how difficult that is.
Yes.
But really, the first prayer that's got to be answered is the total release of him, because the enemy has been playing with him in your mind and all that.
Yeah.
It's got to be a release of him before God even release you to the next phase and dimension where he's taking you and your ministry. Because that was really sent, and I got to say it as God given, as a distraction. God is still there. And I just speak to your emotions, woman of God.
Yes, God.
I speak to your heart. There's more healing. There's been healing taking place, but then more healing will take place so that you can forgive him, because he's living with it too, believe it or not. People go act like they don't, but that murder is still on him, especially with the unforgiveness. And if you're not careful, that can set up some other things or even sickness.
Yeah.
But God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that God, that your love, God, your love, God will begin to cover the entire household, God. Because the enemy's been trying to follow her with that. Loose here in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, the spirit of resentment and depression and anger and hurt and that pain, God, that it be released now in the name of Jesus. God, that it come out. God, that you heal the woman of God. Every place that she hurt, God, build her up, God. Build up a family, God. It didn't just hurt her and hit the family. God, heal the family.
Yes, God.
Let it take place in the heart. Let it take place in the mind. That take place in the soul, God, a healing.
Yes.
God, even those from here that lost loved ones, God, I speak a healing.
Yes.
A healing. God, that there's life after this.
Yes.
And the enemy will even try to threaten you with death to stop you from living. But she's with Jesus. But you got to get there. And God, I pray, God, that you would wrap her emotions and her pain and her mind up in your love. God, so she can continue to see clearly now.
Yes, God.
God, it will stop raining on her life.
Yes, God.
Open the heavens over her life. Open!
Yes, God.
Open, God. Open it, God. Yabashanda. Do it, God. And let there be peace there. Let it be a real peace. You're going to wake up, it's going to be gone, woman. It's going to be gone.
Yes, God.
You're going to have peace that you haven't had in months. You're going to have peace.
Y'all,
to the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah.
We have
left the God.
Call back tomorrow. You need to definitely call back tomorrow night at the same time. You guys, if we have not gotten to you today, please call back tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, same time. I love you guys, and you guys be blessed.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. God bless. And all will be